player I'm going to get mad at you guys about, just so, you know, steel yourself.
Failure.
You take it very personally.
You shame me, guys. You shame me.
Uh-oh.
Tell me why I'm wrong.
So I'm just going with my heart over my head, because my head is stupid anyway.
Prepare for total domination.
Oh, that's just dumb, though.
I've never been proven more wrong in my life so quickly and so dramatically. Recording April 2nd, 2024. Your co-hosts, Robo Clarko and M. Caitlin Tolliver. I am Haley Van Lithium, powering this Energizer Bunny. The 12.3 millionth podcast of the year. None of these numbers make any sense. The references, maybe you haven't been paying attention. Yeah, what a week. What a day, as a matter of fact, that today was, where we learned that the Iowa-LSU game shattered the record for most people watching a women's college game, the most people watching any sort of college game on ESPN was done by this. I think there were only a few events that have garnered more in the past calendar year, like only a handful, maybe five or so, which is really, really incredible. And what a game it was. Just a tremendous showing. Caitlin, 41 points. What was it? 41 points, 12 assists, something like that. And just balled out. And it's great. And then we had Paige and Juju showing up for their game, the follow-up game. Got lots to talk about. We're going to try and unpack all this, because it's just kind of all monumental. And it's such a gift. And it was really enjoyable to kind of forget about all the silly crap that usually happens surrounding sports and just be able to appreciate something. Right? Yeah. So let's just get general impressions here. We'll talk about the big game first, I guess, the main event, and what we thought about it, what notes we took down while it was happening, general impressions. Let's start. Let's dig in. Becky, let's start with you. Give us your Iowa LSU takes.
Oh, I had a great time. That's my big takeaway.
Big smiles.
It was a fantastic game. I, in fact, just received a text from my mom, who said that the Iowa game is the best game she's seen all tournament. And I know she's been watching the men as well.
Nice.
So I echo my mother's statement. I'm not sure I took many notes. I was just texting the group chat and having a grand old time. I do think I underestimated Iowa and Caitlin Clark a little bit. I know it's a little shocking. They were just showed up even better than I expected. And I think LSU did not perform as well as they could have.
Sure.
We'll get into it a little bit, but the headline is, had a great time. I love basketball. This is so fun.
That's it. That's it. You summed it up, man. Great time. Love basketball. Loads of fun. Michael James Tolliver.
That was like a very, very exciting game. Just at least through like four and a quarter quarters before LSU just started getting put away. But like, man, like, to see Iowa jump, and I thought that they had them, like, just from the beginning. I don't know. I'm just like, uh-oh, they remember last year, and they're not about to go down again. And I felt like that jump out kind of, I think that it was too much for LSU. Like, the energy that they had to put in to make their comeback, I think might have done them in. And then, of course, we all know, Haley Van Liz guarding Caitlin Clark is the most absurd thing in the world, because Caitlin was like toying with her. You know what I mean? Like, oh, hey, dribble, pull. Oh, hey, off the screen, pull. Oh, hey, you don't see me, pull. And, you know, you can't do anything with Caitlin. But my main takeaway from that game, because like Becky, I underestimated Iowa. I felt like LSU just had the depth. You know what I mean? And the rebounding. And I thought that would win out. But I didn't see them not prioritizing guarding Caitlin Clark. You know what I mean? And I really got to really get a feel for, like, what she is on the court. You know what I mean? And that game really put that in perspective for me. And she is, like I've been saying anyway, but she truly is Lady Steph Curry. You know what I mean? Like, because she opens up everything for her other teammates and elevates their game. She raises their floor and ceiling. And let me not discount Miss Kate Martin, because I call it Kate and Caitlin. And they were going crazy. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, shout out to Iowa. From Kate Martin. Absolutely.
Man, she was amazing.
Huge. What was her? She, yeah, 21 points for her. 41 yeah. And if you allow 41 to one player and 21 to another, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I was thinking that LSU could have easily, but at least through by halftime. I think it was like, I don't know what, at what point in the third quarter, maybe like with, you know, 3 minutes into the third quarter. Up until that point, I thought LSU was perfectly capable of coming back. The defense, for all we could say about Kim Mulkey, she's supposed to be a good coach. She did not coach well. She prepares her players to play. I don't know if she's a good X's and O's. I don't think I've ever heard a broadcaster go, "Wow, what a great ATO." By Kim Mulkey. What a tremendous play. Never seems to be that kind of coach. She's the kind of coach that drills, you know, the way that she wants her players to play, and they play, and they're very usually very athletic and very skilled, and so that it's very effective. It made no sense, and I don't know, you know, I follow a lot of WNBA players on Twitter. Man, many of them were just openly going, like, what's going on with this defense? Not only the Haley Van Lith of it all, and poor Haley, to just get ball racked 12.7 12.3 billion people, whatever it was, you know, in the most watched game of all time. I feel real bad for her because she shouldn't have been put in that position. But not only just like no the big dropping, not stunting at all, was, and it felt like the Colorado game, their first game of the year, where they were just not prepared to be in that situation. Like, they didn't have any idea of what to do, and then they tried to do a press, and it looks like, okay, you guys have never practiced a press in your life. So they were like in a stunt and double with Angel, and good idea. Technical idea in theory, if you've ever practiced it. It just doesn't look like they've ever prepared to do that sort of thing. There was some ESPN, I think, I can't remember what newspaper it was, there was a quote, somebody quoted and said that Mulkey was looking at one of her assistant coaches on the bench and saying, is she just better than us? Is she faster than us? Just, are you having a stroke, lady? What's going on? This is Caitlin Clark we're talking about. You were not prepared to play her. You had no idea what to do if she was going to go off on you. That was just, it made no sense. It was really just like, I think this whole defense was a brain fart. You got to think, even at the end of the game, they lost by 7 points. That was it. Because they just could not work up a suitable defense to play against her.
I think that Angel going down, because I felt like she was going to play the whole game too.
Yeah.
I think she was going to play the whole game too, but that, like, put them a notch down. You know what I mean? Because it's like, as soon as she went down, you could feel it. You know what I mean? Like, uh-oh. Defensive intensity, not the same. Like, I mean, they were still contesting, but it just wasn't Angel there, like, knowing where everything is going to go. Cause it just seemed like she was like, oh, I know where this pass is going. Oh, I know where you're about to go. She was like crazy blocking, crazy stealing.
Well, she also got into the foul trouble, and it was just after that, it was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You can't, if you're her, you can't play like shy, you know, you can't play tentative defense. Right. Becky, like I think most of us, you're just like absolutely thrilled at the Mulkey just eaten cake of it all. Any comments on what they were doing there?
Yeah, it was surprising, and I felt really bad for Haley Van Lith. It really felt like she was kind of thrown to the wolves by her coach. She's 4 or 5 inches shorter than Caitlin Clark, and they were putting her with one-on-one defense. And with not a lot of help out there, and it seems like, you know, potentially The one argument you could say is that maybe they were just going to say, fine, Caitlin Clark, go off. We'll contain everyone else.
That was
but
my
they
thinking.
Did not
they
contain everyone else very well either. So, and it didn't feel like there was much switching around with that. And then, of course, you know, having Haley having to work so hard on defense, when you're putting in that much effort on defense, there were some mistakes on offense where you just felt like there were some just kind of some dumb turnover sort of mistakes, maybe not the best shots. And you could see Kim's reaction on the sidelines were more like upset and rather than like uplifting to her player. So that just kind of sucks to see.
Yeah.
I will say that Haley Van Lith did not have the best game on the court, but she's had some really impressive moments this weekend. She did, and I really appreciated this. There's that LA Times article that came out talking about the UCLA versus LSU game in really racialized terms, like shockingly so, where they were just painting LSU as the villains versus like the lily white UCLA team. And some of it referenced Mulkey. And I think there's good reasons to not root for LSU, which is that Mulkey has been homophobic and prevented her players from coming out. And that's a reason I root against LSU. And then there's like every other reason often, which is, you know, I guess rivalries, whatever, if you just have a genuine rivalry. But there's a lot of like flack that the players get just because they play hard. And Haley put it in very clear, very stark terms that like the flack that the LSU players get is because they're majority black women. When she is feisty on the court, she's praised for it. And when her black teammates do the same thing, they're critiqued for it. And I appreciate that she called it out in really clear terms, like this is rooted in racism. And I thought that was important. And she also spoke up specifically for Angel Reese and all the hate that Angel Reese has gotten. So really great teammate moments from Haley Van Lith this weekend.
We applaud you, Haley. And we're sorry you had to guard Caitlin Clark one-on-one for so long in that game. It's better to be a good person than a great player, for sure. Moving on, let us talk a little bit about USC versus UConn. Another fantastic game, and it was one of those games where both stars really kind of showed you know, that glimpse of the future. Paige was she was the pinball wizard in this game and just in complete control. She has skills. I think even this is, and we're going to get to see like, oh boy, we're going to get to have Iowa versus UConn this upcoming week. And that's going to be sensational. But I think it's also, man, we're looking at the future. I think Paige already does some things that I don't see players, even WNBA players, necessarily doing, just in the way that she controls her body. You know, when she's in the air, the amount of vision that she has, it's not necessarily like what's it good? Like your Magic Johnson type of I'm seeing a hole that is 3 inches wide and I'm getting a ball through there. But the way that she moves around, she controls the way that the defense moves. She is physically dominating players. This is something I did not expect happening when we saw this little slip of a girl come out of high school looking like super scrawny Diana Taurasi. But she is like super athletic, super strong, just like picking people's pockets on defense and just overpowering them with speed and strength and quickness. I'm so excited. I'm bummed that she's not coming out this year, but whatever. She's going to be the number one pick next year, and she's going to make some franchise. Just change them around. Between her and Caitlin, it's I think we're seeing a catalyst for the way that the WNBA is changing. But anyway, back to the game. We can't comment on this. Well, let's talk about the game a little bit. UConn, I picked them to come out of this bracket. I just felt like I think part of it is also like the thing they usually complain about with, Gino saying that everybody's getting hurt. What it winds up meaning is is that they're going to play a lot of their minutes, the higher percentage of the time on the floor, with very good players, even if those good players are probably playing more minutes than they necessarily want to. But yeah, if Paige is like, you know, going near 40 or whatever, and Aaliyah Edwards is doing the same, Nika Mol, and all that, it's just the team is going to play better. And I think that's just kind of what's happening. So, yeah, what did we think about this game? And MJ, I'll let you lead off. Did you catch the nightcap here?
Yeah.
All right. I know it was late for you guys.
Yeah, I fell asleep at, like, I want to say halftime, but I ended up rewatching. But Paige looks, I think people forgot that the craze was for Paige before it was for Kate.
Yeah, she was the number one out of that class coming out of high school.
Yeah, and she showed why. You know what I mean? Like, she's getting off screen. She had that Steph Curry kind of look to her, too. Like, she would run the opposing player into, you know, just another spot where her teammate was with their defender and kind of squeeze through and get loose and start making them threes just the same kind of way Caitlin does. You know what I mean? And I don't really – I don't know if I've had – a big enough sample size to say this, but I'm going to say this. Do you think Paige is stronger going to the hole than Caitlin? Because I think she's a underrated finisher.
I do.
Like, she's nice. You know what I mean? And
she's not like pushing people out of the way, but she's bouncing off of them and like getting really good shots doing that.
And I think that's something that's being overlooked because, you know, we're dealing with basically, you know, the Caitlin Angel craze. Like, that's what this tournament really was all about. That's why they had the ratings. But Paige is big time. And I wouldn't be surprised if that game gets 8, 9, 10 million views. You know what I mean? Because it's the lady who had all of the fanfare before her injuries. And then Caitlin came along and took it. And then ran with it because she's talented and great. You know what I mean? And I cannot wait to see this game because seeing those two in particular play, and they play similar. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure how much, like, inside mid-range Caitlin is going to do because she's more devastating from three.
Yeah.
And then she looks for her teammates a lot and then, you know, gets in where she fits in from that point. Like, if it's not just to devastate you, then she's kind of like working. But Paige is kind of three level to me. Not saying Caitlin isn't, but I see more of it in Paige. And maybe it's because I was paying attention to her going to the hole a little bit more. But I see that in her. And I think that, yeah, this she showed why. Or she showed how, I should say, in the last game. And I cannot wait to see this next game because it's
I'm of the mind that they're closer than people
think. Than people say. Yeah, they are. They are. Caitlin's more devastating at the moment, but that's just because we've been seeing her, you know, without any breaks.
Oh, you know, no slight on either one. I think they're two of the best guard prospects that we have probably ever seen come in to the WNBA. Yeah. They're up there.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And I think it's even better than like the likes of like a Sabrina Ionescu. You know what I mean? Because they can finish, both of them. But Paige, yeah. I'm feeling like you. Like, I wish she was coming out right now because to get Caitlin Paige, Cameron Brink.
Yeah.
I think Angel's gonna go back 1 year. Rakia. Like, this is an amazing class. And Paige would have made it that much. It might have been arguably the best class ever. You know what I mean? And it might still end up that way, but this is like a really good, like, man, I'm loving these games. These games were amazing. And going to USC, Juju, I just feel like Juju, like the time that they were saying she wasn't like shooting and all of that, and she was looking for her teammates a little bit more. But whenever she got going, you know, she was producing. And I just felt like maybe if she had a little bit more production, they could have potentially pulled it out, but you know, you got to be a team player. You have to depend on your teammates to help you get open anyway. So I think that's really what was going on. And you know, this, it sucks that she got put out, but it's great that she went that far. You know what I mean? Elite Eight freshman. Yeah. So it's the the future of the women's college game is really bright, because it's a lot of freshmen like taking over now. We're going to be able to see this for 3 or 4 years. Like, man, it's going to be amazing. But it was a good game, man.
What'd you think, Becky?
UConn was very impressive in that game. And you really had to be impressed with how the players played through foul trouble. Nika Mule and I think KK Arnold were both playing with four fouls for a long time. And a lot of them had a number of fouls, and Gino put them in or kept them in. And it really showed a lot of discipline and tenacity in the players. So I was very impressed. I do think another team that we kind of underestimated just because of all the injuries, the talent that's left on the bench makes you think that there must be something missing. And other than rest, we're not seeing a huge amount of faults in this team. I have to reluctantly praise Gino for the coaching. And I hate to do it. I truly do. But he coached a good game, and they really were. They were like triple teaming Juju for a lot of the game. They were just saying, okay, anyone else is going to have to get this done. But Juju, and she still,
she was still pretty great.
Yeah. And she's a freshman, right? She carried this team to the Elite Eight as a freshman. And I loved how much Juju getting her shine also means they keep talking about Cheryl Miller and her era with the McGee sisters. There's a really good documentary about that USC team, which were kind of like right before the WNBA got going. So some of them were in the WNBA and some of them weren't, which I recommend, but I don't know the name of. So Google it, I guess. But I just enjoyed that aspect as well. And it's clear this USC team is going to probably be in the Elite Eight or further for the next 3 years, right? With Juju leading the charge. So that's just fun to watch.
The documentary Woman of Troy?
It was Woman of Troy.
Okay.
Yes.
There you go. Available on HBO, people. Free plug just for them.
There we go. It's poor Cheryl Miller. She's rad.
Yeah. We have Imani and JaVale's mama, Pamela McGee. That's right.
And her twin sister.
That's right. Forgot her name.
Yes.
Sorry, Imani.
Yeah. So basketball legacy there. And of course, Cheryl Miller is Reggie Miller's sister. And Reggie's in the documentary being like, Cheryl's a better basketball player than me. Like, it's fun. It's a good doc. Anyway, we're getting away from the plot here a little bit. But it was another great game. Great performances on all sides. The star power that was advertised that would happen last night happened. The stars shone, and that was just so fantastic to see.
Yeah, you guys pretty much covered it. The only thing I want to add is just to like reinforcing, man, UConn tough. Nika Mule tough. Aaliyah Edwards tough. KK Arnold, all of them. Like they're playing those hard minutes, and they're fighting through it, like you said, with foul trouble. They were really, really disciplined. Just great. I had them coming out just because I thought USC, you know, with so many freshmen. Also, shout out to the USC little nerd core. They got a whole bunch of Ivy League transfers on that team, and that's always great. I love it when those. Because the Ivy League does not let you play more than 4 years. They're just like, that's it. And we know there was a COVID extra year. Not doing it. One of my favorite players, Caitlin Chen, is going to be going off to, is going to be hitting the transfer portal and going somewhere else. Anywhere but LSU, Caitlin. I think Abby, you know, Abby declared for the draft, but she could have as well. Abby Sue at Columbia. That was really cool. They picked up like three players for them. They were all key contributors on this team, and that was just kind of neat to see. I like it. Yeah, USC was a lot of fun. I think they put up more of a fight than I expected them to be honest with you, in this game. I thought that UConn was going to win by a lot more than they did. They did not. And now we're headed for a Final Four. It's going to be a really, really great one. We got your classic favorite, one of the most entertaining teams in college basketball, and the South Carolina Gamecocks. Don't need to list all the names there. They're great. They're fantastic. Camila Cardoso, Tahina Pau-Pau, Flo J, Malaysia Fawiley. We got your classic spoiler in NC State. If you want to go all in on a good bet, there it is right there. NC State to win the whole thing would be it.
That's not a bad idea.
No, it's throwing away your money, I think. Don't do that. Not recommending it.
Sanaya Rivers revenge game.
Sanaya Rivers revenge game. There we go.
Sanaya Rivers has to show up for all of the rest of the game, like in full. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. She can't have a dud of a game going forward. She can't. But I don't want to jump into it too fast before we get to coverage.
And then Isaiah James, very comfortable with mismatched 3-point lines. Didn't seem to bother her at all. Whichever one she was going to shoot from, didn't make a difference. It's a fun team. That was a fun game against Texas too. Really kind of surprised that wound up the way it did. That's going to be a good one. South Carolina versus NC State. This is your classic David versus Goliath. I shouldn't say that because NC State has been good all season, but South Carolina is kind of been showing cracks a little bit. They don't look as dominant in March as they have the rest of the year, so that makes that more interesting. And of course, we got the showdown, the future.
And I know why.
Okay, tell us. Let's go into this. Okay.
They started to go away from, like, they were like the factory basketball team to me, because they would dribble about three times and they would pass. Dribble three times, pass. Like, if you don't have a play in a triple threat, they would go from there and they would just let the ball go. You know what I mean? And then the whole defense would shift and ultimately it would lead to them getting a bucket. And I noticed, like, in that last game, they started going away from it more so in the second half against Oregon. And, like, I was getting frustrated because I'm like, why are y'all going away from, you know, they can't stop this. So why are you guys going away from it?
Why do they wind up playing so differently, even in the middle of games?
Probably because of, I mean, Oregon's not a pushover, especially with Beers down there. Beers is amazing.
Yeah.
Reagan, I love Reagan Beers. But they I don't know. I would have to rewatch and pay that much more extra attention to it, to the tape. But they start going away from it. And I'm not sure if it's because of the pressure. I'm not sure. Was it the defense? Like, I didn't lock in that hard. I was just more so like enjoying the game. But I did notice when they were doing that, because I noticed, like, pass. And I just was, you know, it became routine to me. So it was something that became embedded. And then I noticed when they stopped, you know what I mean? And I just think they need to stick to that game plan. And no matter what, just like, who was that said, Don doesn't sweat, so you don't sweat. You know what I mean? So if Don's not sweating, then keep doing what you do, you know, and I think that they can sneakily win if they play that way throughout. Like, they can't have moments where they go away from your game plan and potentially pick up the other team's game plan, which would be hard against like a Paige or a Caitlin, but you know what I mean? Like, they could probably do something with NC State, but we'll see. You know what I mean? Like, because NC is just like out of nowhere. And they're, I don't know. I'm not going to sleep on them now. I mean, they're in the Final Four. So yeah. SC just needs to stick. They need to stick to their game plan. Three dribbles. If you don't have something, if you're not already starting the action out of the triple threat, then let the ball go. And I think Rivers, away from it.
Rivers herself is, you know, there's going to be mismatches, obviously, all over on the other side of the floor. But Rivers herself is definitely going to be a mismatch on her end, because I love South Carolina's guard unit. They're my favorite four of my favorite players, literally: Raven Johnson, Bree Hall, Tahina Pau-Pau, and Malaysia. I don't think anybody has the combination of height and athleticism to hang with Sanai Rivers. This could be a really, really huge game for her.
She needs to abuse that fact, because I've seen some footwork from her in that last game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, utilize that and take advantage of your matchup.
Becky, how are you feeling about South Carolina versus NC State?
I still feel good about South Carolina. What's nuts about them is just the amount of talent they have on this roster. Mm-hmm. And any one player can have a bad game, and they have two players coming behind them that are going to have a good one. They're such even scoring. I just looked at their season scoring averages. So Camila Cardozo is their number one scorer with 14 points a game. But then they have six players that average between 8 and 11 points a game.
Yep.
Right. So, you know, their whole squad can score. And so on any given night, you have to watch for all of them going off. You know, like I, there's so many players on this team you can praise. I love Ashlyn Watkins. Malaysia Fawiley obviously is the future of basketball. They can hit you everywhere. And there could be, like, you know, their game versus Oregon, Tahina Paopao only scored 5 points. Normally she gets 11.9.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. Because
because somebody's going to make
Johnson
up for it,
Johnson got
right.
15, and Camila Cardozo got her solid 12. Like, they just have enough people who can do it all. It's really impressive. And they're one of those teams where they don't have, you know, Cardozo's probably their star player, but they just don't have, you know, when they do the graphics, like, who do you choose? Right? Some other teams are like, it's Caitlin, it's Paige, it's Juju. And South Carolina, it's all of them every night. So that's what makes them so difficult, because you can plan for one player going off, and then another player is going to go off, and you never know who's going to be having the best game that day. So good luck, NC State. It'd be fun if you were spoilers. It'd be fun. We'll see.
It would be fun. That would be a wild upset.
Yeah.
If that happened. Yeah, that was the thing. That, like, Tessa Johnson went off, and I'm like, I think about 9 players on this team, and it's like Tessa Johnson is usually not one of them, and then here we have Tessa Johnson just like, oh, all right, they need me. Okay, I'm going to start shooting. She's killing it. That was that's fantastic. I love it when things like that happen. All right, let's get to the major showdown here. Iowa versus UConn. Analysis, predictions. How do we feel that this one is going to go? What have we taken away from the past couple of weeks that might be an indicator for this game?
Becky.
No, you go, MJ. You go. Come on.
Well, I just think it's almost a mirror. You know what I mean? Like, when Paige gets going, well, she also has Aaliyah. She has Aaliyah Edwards, too, so.
Mm-hmm.
But when Paige gets going, her team is able to get going. When Kaitlyn gets going, her team is able to get going. And I feel like maybe Paige may have more of a, and I don't want to say this because Iowa just did what they just did, but I feel like Paige has a more well-rounded by position team. Because I thought Iowa would have been more vulnerable throughout this tournament. You know what I mean? And they are not. So I'm not sleeping. Like, I thought LSU was going to win, and I'm like, ooh, y'all just showed me, like, shut up. Like, they just slapped me in the mouth. Just shut up. And I just think this is going to be a mirror matchup. And it's, you know, of course it's going to be Paige versus Caitlin, but their teammates are going to have to win this game for them, unless Caitlin just decides to go nuclear and she's making it from 30 feet. Like, she gets 3-4 3 pointers from 30 feet that devastate, bring the defense up a little bit more, which will end up opening up things for Iowa. You know what I mean? And with Paige, it's just like, she's a threat all over. If you think that, oh, it's Paige versus Caitlin, so this is 3 versus 3. No, it's not going to be 3s versus 3s. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so I think Paige has the ability to be able to get in and do what she does. penetrate and like draw defenses a little bit more differently than Caitlyn does, in a sense. Like, yeah. Caitlyn attracts the defense, but Paige like pulls it. I don't know. They have different orbits. I'm not trying to take away from either one of them. Like, they have different types of orbits, and they also have like different strengths in the rest of their teammates. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I would think Iowa has a better guard unit. At least what Kate Martin showed. And with that being a threat, and then especially like they were getting transition buckets against LSU that I did not expect. Like, LSU would, I'm thinking like, okay, so you have to execute and make the bucket, because that's usually how you take away the transition. LSU would make a bucket, and then it's just like, pass. All right, beam down.
Yeah, they got it out quick.
Easy bucket. And it's just like, damn, like, what do you do about that? You know what I mean? Like, So seeing that, knowing that they have that experience, I'm talking about Iowa now, and knowing that that's in their back pocket, I don't know what's going to happen in this game. You know, because I would say UConn would win, but no, because Caitlin's orbit is just different in a way where she doesn't need that much room. You have to guard her. You need to put your best defender on her. You need to guard her area. You damn near need to just zone Kate. You know what I mean? And pray Kate Martin doesn't have another game like that. But I don't know. I feel like it's still like a mirror matchup, because at the end of the day, they are still operating off the same type of orbit, because Caitlin can get to the cup too. So you can't sleep on her. You, 1 minute she's out there on the three, you think you babysitting her, and then next minute you look back, you look to your left, and she's going to your right behind your back. And she's already at the rim putting up a layup. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to see. A prediction. I'm going with Caitlin. I'm going to have to. And I guess I'll feel a little bit more comfortable saying that because Paige is coming back one more year. You know, she could take it over next year. But I'm also not going to sleep on Paige, because I know what she was before she went down. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But Caitlin's got all the momentum. She's got all of the buildup. She's got just her game just been improving. She's got that passing ability, same way as Paige. Like, and that's why I call it a mirror matchup. But I'm going to go with Iowa only because that's like the team you don't want to bet against. If somebody was like, yeah, so you want to put up $1,000, UConn, would you do it against Iowa?
I do not bet $1,000 on anything. I'm not insane like some of our friends are.
Okay, so if somebody said a dollar or lunch.
I don't know. I'm looking at the spread right now. I think spreads are only good. Even if you're not into gambling, it's just kind of good to get a gauge of what people think is going to happen in this game. Yeah. And they say Iowa minus 2.5. That feels about right. I think there is a nuclear possibility with Caitlin. That just kind of trumps everything else just a little bit. Like, if she really goes off, it's just a hard time to catch up from that. And I think this Iowa team, I think people have been underrating the supporting cast. I've said it a few times on this
podcast. I have.
Kate Martin, I think Kate Martin is freaking great. I think Hannah Stolke, she didn't put up a whole bunch of numbers, but she's tough, man.
Yeah, she was doing her thing. So
yeah, Gabby Marshall, future occupational therapist, is is really good. And yeah, it's just like all over. O'Grady is just like knows what to do. Shout out to Lisa Bluter. Kind of made fun of her a little bit a few episodes ago. That was my idea, by the way. If you want to blame anyone, with the whole Big Ten. This is not Big Ten protocol. It was still funny. I don't care. I don't regret anything. It was really hilarious. But she coached a hell of a game in that LSU game. I don't think she got enough credit for that, too, because they had a few plans put into place, and they all freaking worked. Practically all of them. The running off of the makes.
Right. And she was like, LSU was their bigs are going to be down. So, and their players are going to be, and they mentioned it during the game, like the LSU's pace is actually faster, right? But it's LSU is crashing the boards. You know what I mean? And she went from, she probably was like, hey, they're crashing. So
they're crashing the boards. Let's beat them.
Soon as whatever is happening.
Yep.
Yeah. Get down. And that when your defense is reeling to get back, as opposed to being able to get back comfortably, wait for you to bring the ball up, bring it up. Like, you can't – man, that game was amazing, man. Shout out to Iowa again. No, because it's
– No, right. I agree with you. This is like one of these games that we're going to remember, and I think that the next one is another one, maybe.
Yeah, it is.
We're just going to remember how this game goes. It's just going to be – it's fantastic.
But enough for me.
Gush. Yeah, Becky, what are your thoughts on Iowa versus UConn?
Who do we think's guarding Caitlin? Is that Nika?
They're gonna mix it up. Gino's not dumb. Yeah. He's not gonna leave it to one person. But I'm sure Nika's gonna get the majority of it.
Yeah. And are they gonna go for the double triple team of it all? Like they did Juju?
Probably. I think some stuff like that's going to be mixed in. They're going to stunt on her and things like that to add, like an extra player to pressure her when she comes off of picks, make her get the ball out of her hands rather than leaving her to shoot 30 feet.
Yeah. Cause a lot of it, I mean, if they do kind of a similar game plan of what they did for Juju, and send a lot of people on her, you know, it's a lot about how the supporting cast does and how Caitlin is able to pass out of those situations, which she is very good at. Do you know who's the best 3-point shooter on Iowa?
So it's not Caitlin.
It's not.
Percentage wise. Oh gosh. Wait, let me take a look here. I'm going to try and guess without looking at any stats, because now I'm curious. It's not O'Grady, is it? That would be amazing. I just want to throw out...
She has not taken a 3-pointer.
Oh, okay. Too bad. I'll just throw out a guess. Is it Molly Davis?
That game has got to be Kate.
No, it's Hannah Stolke, who's shooting 50.
Hannah! There you go.
Off of 8 attempts. No, but okay, Sydney Falter and Molly Davis, both over 40%. Gabby Marshall, 36%, Kate Martin, 37.7%, Taylor McCabe off the bench, 46.1%. They've got firepower around Caitlin, and that's going to be, I think, big for this game. I also think, you know, I am annoyed when people flop against me, and when it's one of my players that flops, I cheer a well-executed flop. And I think if they can get UConn in foul trouble, Caitlin's good at getting the calls she wants to get. That could also be a pretty big part of this game. USC was able to get them in foul trouble and then didn't do the final push of getting them out of the game. You really got to just start driving and falling over. I'm not saying they can't win it regularly. Just that's how I would approach UConn is see how.
Oh, that's right. That's what you said online, that you were just like anytime you get near Aaliyah.
Just fall over.
Just Aaliyah or Paige. Oh, God. I've been shot.
They won't call all of them, but they'll call some of them.
Get them out of the game. Oh, I hate foul outs. I hate them so much.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a fun one. The LA Times is going to have no idea who to root for. it's going to... I love basketball. It's going to be so fun. Cleveland's going to be just a
party. Are we going to say Cleveland's going to be rocking? Is Cleveland going to rock?
It may rock.
May rock.
It may in fact rock.
One last thing I wanted to point out. Iowa was like 80th, I think 80th in pace. I just looked it up on her hoop stats. They really played well at pace in that LSU game.
Yeah. And
that was not something I was expecting.
Yeah, they were beating LSU down the court. I mean, that was one of the things that's not a coaching issue. That's a, you know, effort issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is Iowa was down the court. And when you have a player like Caitlin Clark who can make that pass, you got to get down that court.
Yep.
Did you see the little bit at the end of the game? She threw the ball to her brother.
Yep, like dime to her brother in like the sixth row. 20
rows
amazing.
Up, like, it was so high up, and it was just perfect. Anyway,
making passes all over the place.
Yeah, you got to make sure you're. And this is what's been impressive about the UConn team is they have to be on constantly on defense, and they've shown they can do that for almost an entire game.
But with a short bench,
it's going to be a grueling game for them.
If Iowa like runs, gets like running like crazy again, oh, that's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah. That's okay. Rather than falling over, you just start sprinting.
Just you may fall over from exhaustion. It could be very easy to flop in this game.
If you happen to trip because you're running, you're a player, even better, right? But yeah, no, get them out running based on what they did to LSU. That could be really beneficial as well.
I'll just say, since it'll all be decided by the time we're we meet next, I don't hate Iowa against South Carolina either.
Iowa is capable. With Caitlin is going to break up defenses. So whatever defense you think, and I'll give it to Becky saying UConn is probably, do you think they're more or they're better suited to guard Caitlin than South Carolina or NC?
Oh, that's a good question. Maybe, yeah. I think I trust. Yeah. You know, it's apples and oranges in a way, but because right. Raven Johnson's a very good defender. But I think I like Nika, like navigating screens, all the things that they like to do to get Caitlin open. Maybe more than anyone in particular. But then again, South Carolina and Staley does not rest on her laurels if something's not working. She makes adjustments a lot. So
yeah,
she'll figure out something. So I don't know. It's really tough to say. All four, I guess. I don't even know who NC State's coach is, and I apologize. But yeah, especially these three, who the coaches I'm all familiar with, have all shown themselves to be really good at making adjustments in game and doing different things. So it's really hard to say when we start like lining up strategies and stuff. If something's not working, they're not going to stick with it. None of them. And it's just, do you have the horses? Can they execute and like so far, again, all three showing that they can make adjustments and do whatever it needs to get done. That's why they're here. Is that they're not overmatched at any point because they found ways to make adjustments. So, oh, it's going to be so good. It's just going to be so great. All props to NC State. I really do hope we get a South Carolina versus Iowa or UConn in the finals, just because I want to see that game. But if NC State, if you upset everybody's bracket and make everybody cry, then more power to you. It'd be great. We'll congratulate Ari Ivory when that happens.
Hey.
Yeah, she's having a great time. I think the men's team is still alive too, right? If I'm not mistaken. I'm not paying attention.
I have no idea. I have not been paying attention to no men's.
I know. Guys, perennially ignored every time comes around to March Madness and never pay attention to what they do.
Well, look at the numbers. No.
Yeah.
People are watching women's sports. I don't, it's about economics. That's what it's about. It's about economics, and the women are drawing a bigger audience. So,
Maybe they need to lower the rims or something to raise the rims. Maybe there's too many dunks. I'm not sure.
Maybe to make the basketballs larger.
Maybe. We have fun here, folks, do we? Last little bit, I want to shout out the team I thought should have made the NCAA tournament, my beloved Villanova, whatever the Villanova team is called. I forgot. What is Villanova's team called? What's their mascot?
Wildcats. Isn't everyone a Wildcat?
That's it. I think so. Yeah, I think you're right. My girl. her name just flew out of my head.
Lucy Olsen?
Lucy Olsen. Thank you. Lucy Olsen. Killing it. They're in the finals of the WBIT. They're going up against Illinois for the final spot. They're just beating the pants off of everybody in that tournament. She's scoring like crazy. We could have had this, folks. I don't know who I would have kicked out, but we could have had this. So I'm mad, all right? I'm angry. It's just satisfying. I mean, we get more games with Lucy Olson. So if any of you have, you know, bopped over to ESPNU and watched some of them, they were quite enjoyable. I'm enjoying the WBIT as well as the NCAAs.
You must be drinking your Gatorades. I did not have the stamina, I think, for a whole nother tournament of games.
I've just been watching Villanova, and I watched the Final Four game between Illinois and Washington State, but that was pretty much over pretty quickly. So, yeah, I just like Lucy Olson, man. She's been fun. She's been ball wrecking everybody. She had like the second or third highest scoring average against Power Five teams. So it's not a matter of like, oh, she's in a weak conference, blah 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 blah. She can ball. She can ball. She's probably the best player that did not make this tournament, I'm guessing, or up there. You know, Charlize Legler Walker is another one who was a really good one. That team made the Final Four in the WBIT. They got eliminated in the semifinals against Illinois. And she's going somewhere else now. We found out that she has entered the portal. The mysterious portal. Where it winds up, nobody knows. So yeah, Emma Ronsick, another one from Creighton, decided to enter the portal. Talia von Olhoffen left America's team. she was like, we're America's team. And she's like, I'm leaving America's team, going somewhere else. Georgia Amor, probably going to Kentucky.
Wonder where she's going.
Don't contact her. Don't talk to her at all. She knows where she's going. She doesn't need your input. Doesn't need your lip. Okay. Yeah, she's probably going to Kentucky. Following Brooke. She just can't get out of that chat. She wants to stay in the group chat. So, yeah, that's been it, folks. Sixth pod of the year. We're bike, baby. Exciting times. Super duper exciting times. If you came here for the Caitlin Clarkness of it all, we're going to give you some Caitlin Clark. Okay. We're going to give you some Paige Beckers. We're going to give you some Cameron Brink. We're going to give you some Asia Wilson. We're going to give you Brianna Stewart, a lot of other players. Follow us. Come on over. Come on down to the WNBA, because it's like NCAA women's basketball on crack. And you'll love it. Trust me.
Yes, and men out there, I didn't get to my rant. Becky put it in really good, great.
It's positive vibes.
Lovely lawyer terms. Yeah, positive vibes. Becky did it. She did it. Oh, so
we're not talking about asymmetric courts. By the way, I love the idea of asymmetric courts. Everybody was mad at that, and I was like, "Oh, it's like it's wearing a leg sleeve. It's so cute."
You aren't watching the sport for the sport, and don't watch the sport. That's all I'm gonna say.
Unfortunately, the popularity comes with every doofus with a name feeling that they need to comment on things that they definitely don't understand and just showing their butt, their little high knees to everybody. But we're not talking about that. It's positive vibes. It was great. It has been great. We love it. And that is it. This has been the sixth pod of the year. Robococo, MJ Tolliver. I am Snap Wilson. And we will see you guys next week to talk about the Final Four. I think, am I wrong? What's the WNBA draft is in 2 weeks, Monday. So yeah,
Caitlin,
we have a special guest for that day. But yeah, we will talk Final Four. We will talk draft predictions because that'll be fun.
Yeah,
you know, we'll know who's declared and who hasn't declared and blah 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 blah.
Right.
Yeah.
Since they only have 48 hours. We'll know about Angel by tomorrow. And I'm just saying, Angel staying. That's my prediction.
She might be fed up with Kim.
She might be fed up with Kim.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
we'll see.
I mean,
go ahead. By the way, I mentioned it on Twitter. I'm a little higher on Angel than I have been most of the time. Feeling decent.
Yeah, she's,
but we'll talk about that. We'll talk about
it. Yeah, because I'm about all to right. go in about it.
yeah. We're gonna have all next week to talk about draft picks. But anyway, yes, sixth pod of the year, Robococo, MJ Tolliver. I am Snap Wilson. Y'all be good to each other out there. Enjoy it. This is a beautiful time to be a fan of women's basketball. Just have fun, man. It's good stuff. Why am I sounding like Joe Biden? Just have fun, man. anyway, everybody, have a great week. We'll see you next week. Peace out.
Peace out.
Goodbye.